Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you The Creative Process with Nick Curto. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you tonight?
Great, Hercules. I got to say, though, I have a complaint. What's going on with all of our weekends? I mean, every single weekend, it seems like at least one of the days is rain and coolness, and it's not fair. It just isn't.
Well, that can be said.
Really,
on the other hand, it encourages us to stay home and enjoy the people that we're with, or if we're not with anyone, to find time to treat ourselves well.
I agree with that, absolutely. Watching some old movies, and The Ancient Aliens is one of my favorite programs, and also just catching up on reading. So all of that is exactly what goes on. Yep.
Your guest is here, and I'm looking forward to your show tonight. If you need me, just holler.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Again, this is a podcast program. I'm Nick Curto, and the program is called The Creative Process with Nick Curto, and I'm your host. It's a 60-minute live broadcast, and a brief background about me. I was always very, very much involved in the creativeness of everything I do. It just absolutely got my attention, and I did many different kinds of things creatively. I did paintings, drawings, sculpture. I produced puppet shows. I attended the George Walter Vincent Smith Art Galleries located in Springfield, Massachusetts, and that's where I was born and grew up. I attended Tech High School and excelled in art there and drama. And when it came time to graduate, I started looking for an art school to go to. And my first choice by far was the Massachusetts College of Art and Design, located in Boston, Mass. I went there for my interview and waited for my letter to come if I was going to be accepted. And yes, I did some prayers. And then the letter came, opened it up, and it said, "You have been accepted, reporting in September." And that couldn't be a better moment in my life. And I'll tell you, the Massachusetts College of Art and Design is one of the most wonderful schools you could possibly go to. Any art students out there, don't miss the opportunity. If you're looking for an art school, look into the Mass College of Art and Design. It's located right on Huntington Avenue, right next to the big museum right there. So it's right on the trolley lines. And it was a great school. I'm still very much in touch with the alumni office, and many of the alumnus, the people I graduated with, were still a very close-knit group. And most of them are still in New England, but some of them have ventured to other places, including New York and Florida and California. And every so often we have a reunion, either at the college or sometimes we now do Zoom meetings that way to keep in touch. So I can highly recommend Mass Art. When I graduated from there after a four-year program in graphic advertising design, I headed straight for New York City with my plaid suitcase and my portfolio and started looking for work. And I found, after about a month or two, found a great job as an art director. And I've been working now many years as an art director for Fortune 500 companies, as well as smaller studios. It's all been incredible. Right now, I'm retired, but I've never been busier in my life. And I'm working on music right now, and I'm working on an art show, which I'm very excited about. And hopefully within the next 6 months, I'll find an art gallery to exhibit my work. So things are still going pretty as fast as they ever were. And I think a lot of creative people will say that's true. Now let's get right to it. My featured guest for this podcast is a wonderful woman. You're going to love her. Her name is Cooley, C-O-O-L-E-Y, Buy, B-U-Y. Cooley, a warm welcome to you.
Hi, Nick. How are you tonight?
Great, great. And I got to ask you right off the bat, it's a very unusual name you have. I'm sure you get this. Is there a story about your first and last names?
Well, there is. My first name, Cooley, is from my mom's side of the family. It's a long lineage of the first name or middle name of the oldest child being named Cooley, and I am the first woman to have it as a first name. And it goes back to about the mid-1800s, maybe even a little earlier than that, as a last name. And then the last name died out, so that's how it became a first name. And I still have direct connections to the town that I live in, with the founders being founders of from my family. So it's a definitely a family name. I've never had a nickname because Cooley was always unique enough. And my father's family were one of the ones that came through Ellis Isle. The name was changed on the paperwork, and it was Buys, B-U-Y-S, and then it was changed to Buy on the paperwork. So that's how our last name came from.
Great. It's a wonderful name. And my mother's side, my Irish, my mother, they were the O'Shea's from Tipperary. But my mother said when they came over, they dropped the O in the ocean, so it became Shea, S-H-E-A.
Yeah.
So anyhow, yeah, I was going to say, if you've never been to Ellis Island, have you ever been to New York and visited Ellis Island?
Not yet. I almost stopped the summer one time, but it was one of those Saturdays that you were talking about the weather being horrible, and I decided to skip the trip on the boat out there.
Okay. Well, but sometime I really recommend it. I think you'd have an incredible experience there, and it's a beautiful museum with a lot to see. And, of course, the history of that, all the immigrants from that generation were coming here, had to go through Ellis Island. And there's a lot of great stories there, so I highly recommend that when you can. I won't get right to it. I want to ask you first, where were you born, and where do you make your home now?
I actually was born in New York, New Jersey. My dad worked in the city, and my mom and he settled outside the city. When I think I was around two or three, they moved to Granville, Massachusetts, which is where my mom is from and where I currently live and have lived here for about 20 years now. It's always been home. We lived out in California through college, which I was right down the road from you. I was in Northeastern. I didn't realize that you went to school in Boston.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. We're Huntington Ave people.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. I want to ask you, too, your family, did you have any brothers or sisters?
I have two sisters. They're both younger than I am, but we're very close in age. I think we're like 13 months and 14 months apart from each other. One lives next door to me. The other one lives down in North Carolina.
Okay. Very, very good. And also, your mom and dad, just a little bit about them, if you could.
Sure. My dad was your sales guy. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And probably some of my creativity came from her. She was very creative, outside-the-box thinker. My dad had a lot of business sense, sales and business, and gave me a lot of the confidence that I've needed to embark on my current path, which was being a one-woman show kind of in a store, although I do have some great friends that helped me out a lot.
Right, right. I want to get to that beautiful story you've got. Also, were any of your other relatives, your grandparents, were they ever creative on any levels?
Well, the family business I mentioned before is the Noble and Cooley Drum Shop, and they make drums going back to 1860s, I think, was when the first drums were made. And so there has been a lot of – yeah, it's very cool. It's one of the things that Granville, the town I live in, is very well known for. It's one of the oldest, if not the oldest, drum company in the country. And it's still in business today, and it's been single-family owned for 160 years. So, you know, one of my first jobs was making the pedals and straps onto the drums, and my cousin ran it for many, many years. It's where my grandfather worked his entire life. My uncle worked his entire life there, and family members prior to that. So the creative process of building a drum started with them. And kind of coming all the way through. So, yeah, I'd say I'm from a pretty creative family on my mom's side of the family. My dad, I don't really know much about his family prior to his mom. His father was killed when he was very young in a hit-and-run accident, so I don't know much of anything about his dad. And my grandmother on my father's side of the family passed away but I think I was like a year or two old. So I don't know much about that side. But in Granville, I live my family's history every day because we've been here for so long.
I got to say, too, I wanted to get into this a bit. My wonderful niece, Kathy, invited me to the Granville Fall Festival, which I have heard about before, but I never went there. And so this past couple weeks, on that weekend, I went with her. And what a wonderful festival that is. I'd highly recommend that to everyone. And, you know, it was much bigger than I even suspected it would be. As you know, they had school buses, and they would take the attendees from one section. There might be 30 tents set up or more. And then you go to another section of Old Granville, and then there'd be another 20 or 30 tents set up there with the crafts and all kinds of incredible foods and other things that they were displaying and selling. And so there were, I think there were four or five stops with these buses. Thank God for the buses, because it was a little bit far in Granville, but it was wonderful transportation. And we were absolutely knocked out. Me and my partner were knocked out with the quality of all the work that was being displayed and the food. Yum, yum. Boy, I'm going back just for the food. It was incredible.
Well,
tell us a little bit about the Granville itself, because you know a lot about that.
Yeah, well, our fair actually just had its 40th anniversary. The fair was last weekend. And it's a big event. The town of Granville has about 1,500 people, and we more than double our size during the Harvest Fair. There's five or six centers, and each center has, like you said, 25 to 30 different craft people with food trucks and music. And this year we had a local vineyard was there with their wine slushies, which were very good. And it's a lot of fun, and we do have a bus system. People can walk it. It's all easy walking from the furthest part away, the two ends. It's maybe a mile, but it's really easy to hop on a school bus and do the little tour. And when was the last time you were on a school bus? I mean, that's what you get a lot of people, you know, hopping on and off the school buses because they haven't been on one for a while. So it's a lot of fun. It started 40 years ago with our quilting guide, also known as the Stitch and Bitch Club. And the Stitch and Bitchers made these beautiful quilts, and they decided they wanted to share them with people. And the fair kind of grew out of that to being, everybody's having apple pies to sell on their front yard, and then we have a lot of agriculture here, so then it was apple pies and jams and jellies and breads and that sort of thing, and it's just sort of expanded out from that. We closed for 2 years during the pandemic and reopened 2 years ago, so this is the second one from the pandemic, and it really is fun. Everybody kind of comes together. We get a lot of people from all over the place. It's amazing the people that come from, you know, more than a day's drive away just to come to the fair. And it's a homecoming for a lot of people. You see people once a year that you might not see any other time. And like you said, the food is fantastic. The atmosphere is fun. And this year we had lots of excitement because the Saturday bad weather held true. We had microbursts coming through and ripping tents away from people. So it was quite interesting on Saturday around here.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. I can't imagine. And I'll tell you, it was such a fun experience. And my niece asked me, would you like to come next year? And I said, you bet. Sign me up because I'm hooked. It was fun, wonderful experience. And I recommend that to everyone. Granville, Granville, Massachusetts. And if you look it up on the internet, I'm sure there's a lot of information there. And the parking was easy too. It was a lot of places to park along the way, and different sections of where the tents were set up, you could also park there. So that was not a problem. And
a lot of field parking. People get their hay out of the way early so they can park in their fields.
Right, exactly. And also, if you go a little bit into the different kinds of things that were exhibited, because I think the audience would find that interesting. You mentioned foods, of course, and boy, was that amazing. The macaroni and cheese with onions, fried onions on that.
Yep,
oh, my goodness.
That's a staple. that's a staple around town. So the main centers the town has is the drum shop, the Noble and Cooley Drum Shop, and they typically have the crepes, and they have a local beer garden there from a local brewer. They also do tours of the drum shop. The center of town has a variety of different local crafters, from woodworkers to, there's a gentleman up there, it's been showing for years, and he refurbishes old steam trunks from Victoria time right up through. And his work is incredible. It's absolutely amazing. On the green, you also have our local Lions Club. They do a fried dough, which is fabulous. The police department has a booth set up. The fair is a really big, major fundraiser for all of our local associations. So there on the green, we'll have face painting. Tom and Sally soaps. There are local people that live here in Granville. They make the most amazing goat milk soap that's really good. The church is open and has a lot of vendors who have been there for a long time. Currently, the quilts are being shown in the church because of the bright windows and everything they have. So they line all the pews with these amazing quilts. And in the basement, there is the Polish ladies get in there, and they make glumkies and all kinds of Polish food that just is right out of the kitchens, and it's wonderful food. And then you've got cotton candy upstairs and caramel apples. The library, our library, which was just celebrated its, I think it's 105th or 106th anniversary. It's an old Victorian building that's beautiful, and it's just been refurbished downstairs. They have a great book sale, and you get a hardback for, I think it's $1.50, and you get a paperback for 75 cents. And then Monday they have a bag sale, and you fill up your bag for everything you can for $5. The school, which is a very old school, was built, I think that was built around, the original school was built much earlier, but I think this building was built like 1905, 1906, something like that. And they have food inside, a variety of different pizzas and soups and that kind of stuff. And then the kids make a lot of things that they sell their wares. But there's also some really nice artisans in there. There's some leatherwork people. There's a lot of knitters in town. And then the other spot, which is me, just opened up 2 years ago for the Harvest Fair. And I do a lot of demos with my crafters. So I have my chainsaw guy is there. I'm doing wood carvings. I have a gentleman who taught himself during COVID to make flutes, and he wood-carved flutes, and he's there making the wood-carved flutes. I have a scroll saw guy. Joy Gates is an amazing weaver, and she brings a 6-foot spinning wheel that she weaves wool and makes, you know, yarn for people, which is just fabulous to watch. Sometimes I'll throw a pottery wheel out there and throw for people. So we have a lot of demos down there. Plus we have food and, you know, crafters alike.
Cooley?
Yes.
Something, I don't know, just went off for a sec.
Okay. Well, we're connected.
Please go ahead.
So yeah, there's you can't even imagine. I mean, I bet you we had, I would say, over 100 types of different type of vendors there with crafts, you know, making different things from wood items to photography to knitting, crocheting, woodworking. I mean, you name it, it's glass blowing. We have glass blowers in town. We have it's just a lot of fun stuff goes on. We have two big apple orchards in town. So there, one of them, a Hilltop Orchard, is open for pick your own apples. Nestorovich's has bags that you can buy, but they also have fabulous cider that they make on site there. And just think of country New England fair, and that's what you get when you have the Harvest Fair.
Everything you said, it was, every bit of it was so wonderful, so beautifully presented. Also, I have to say that the pricing was very, very reasonable, and that's really important, especially these days. And it was very reasonable. Everything that was there was priced in a very good way. Nothing exorbitant we saw at all. So it's the perfect destination at the beginning of fall. You can't go to a better place and spend some a day or two, because it's, I think, is it a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday usually? Is that what happens?
It's always Columbus Day weekend, and it's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, because Monday Massachusetts has the day off. So it's a three-day,
oh, that's right.
It's a three-day weekend.
Three-day weekend. And, boy, you know, although I was only there for one day, I easily could have spent another day there because even though we did a lot of looking, we still didn't see it all. It's very, very big and wonderful, 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 all of it. And a great experience, and I highly recommend that to everybody there. Now, I want to talk to you about your amazing store. Now, how did that begin? And take us through the process of going from the beginning to where it is now, because I think that's an interesting story.
Well, I had taken a pretty typical out of college, get a job type of thing, corporate America. And I started pottery basically because I was sort of bored with my professional life. So I started taking a pottery class at a suggestion of a friend of mine about 14, 15 years ago now, I guess. And then, unfortunately, my son had a very bad accident and became a quadriplegic. So our lives dramatically changed. And after working a couple years after his accident, I realized I was doing nobody any services. I was not doing my professional job well. I was not being a good mom. And I was exhausted. So something had to change. So I came home from work one day and I said, I'm leaving my job and I'm going to become a full-time pop. And he said, can you make a living at that? I said, I don't know.
Now, how did you find the barn? Was the barn vacant at the time? Or how did you happen to go into that particular?
So from leaving the job to where I am now, a friend of mine and I, who I kind of talked into helping me do this, I said, before we spend any real money at this, let's try it and see if it works. So we rented a small building here in town from a woman, and we talked to a lot of crafters that we know in town and said, hey, we're going to do this like craft barn thing. You want to get in on it? And I think we had like 15 or 16 of us, and everybody said, sure, that'll be great. And we were floored at the welcome that we got from everybody. So it was wonderful, but the problems we had with the building were that it was too small. It was impossible to heat. It was very cold all winter long. The parking lot was pretty much non-existent, and you sort of went past the building before you knew you saw it. And I said, okay, now we know it's going to work. We just have to fix these things. And I've had this barn in our family for over 100 years, but it was not in any kind of retail shape. It was sort of falling down. So in early 2020, I decided to renovate the barn and kind of go for it and got some help from some friends and started cleaning the barn out, which took quite a bit of time. And as a matter of fact, the first day I was in the barn battling bat guana and 100 years of family stuff, and it's truly a barn. I mean, there was cows and everything in it. I came home, I'm filthy, and my son said, Mom, you better watch the news. And I said, why? What's going on? He said, just watch it. And there is Lester Holt. And he said, America, we have a problem. There's this thing called COVID. Oh. And I said, and it was really the first day. It was early December. It had kind of just gotten going. And they were talking about New York, where you're from. And it stopped me. I'm like, I hadn't spent any real money yet, just sort of dream money and, you know, invest a little bit of investing. And he said, you know, and I was all worried. I'm like, should I keep going on? Should I stop? Because nobody knew what was going to happen. And he said to me, Mom, just build it and they'll come. So we did. We spent the winter, and everybody was in isolation. And I'm up at the barn, and we were having barn parties, and everybody was staying very far apart from each other because we just didn't know what was going on. And cleaning the barn out and putting it together, and, you know, construction guys were coming in and doing some work, and friends of mine and I, we were doing work, but everybody was staying 15, 20 feet apart from each other. And then we got a certificate of occupancy to open, but we had to get a special thing because of COVID. So and it sort of started to open itself up a little bit. Like, stores were starting to open up, but everybody had to stay, you know, distancing with masks. And we were allowed to have 10 people at a time in the barn. And we said, well, we've built it, and we'll see if anybody shows up. So our first day, and actually all through that first fall that we were opened, we had only 10 people allowed in the tent, including myself. So I was one of the 10 or a worker with me. So seven or eight people at a time could come in, and we had lines of people outside waiting to come in because everybody was just excited. And, you know, we have a very large field. It's an 80-acre field. So cars were parked apart from each other, and people were in line waiting, spaced 6 to 10 feet apart from each other, and just waiting for their turn to come in. And that sort of set us up for what has become a really special place in town. And
it,
so that's how
really
we started.
It certainly is. It's the vibe. There is a vibe. Actually, you feel it when you get near it and when you go in. There is a vibe, and it's very warm and friendly and amazing crafts, incredible crafts. And also, please, when you get a chance, talk a little bit about what's on display, because I was very impressed.
Again, basically what I did is I had done craft fairs for years. So, you know, you gain friends when you see the same people at different craft fairs. And I asked people, you know, would you like to be involved? And if I had a business model, which, you know, I don't even know if it really was an official one, but I wanted to keep it super local. I wanted it to be, you know, primarily Granville people, because we have, even though we're a very small town, we have a lot of really good artisans in town. And then so I picked, basically, I said, okay, people that are going to be here with us are going to be no further away than 20 miles from us. So then it was, well, I don't want a whole bunch of just knitters and potters in here. I want to have a variety of stuff. So I looked around and I went to people that I thought their work was very good. And I said, I'd like you to come and be a part of our barn, and you'll have exclusivity with this, whatever you make. So if somebody was a knitter, I have multiple knitters in there, but you're the person that's going to make me knitting hats. And this is the person that's going to be making us scarves or blankets and that sort of stuff. And then we sort of started to fill in holes with the local people. If there was somebody that was outside of Granville, then I would go look to find somebody outside of Granville. And now we're 5 years into this now. Now I get people coming to me, which is really exciting. And people who say, I want to be a part of it, but I don't know what to do. So we talk, and one of the women who's in there now, named Marianne, she does a lot of woodworking for us. And she's really never done anything beforehand, but she's really good now because she's worked at it. She's listened to what we've said about what we think the market's going to do. And, you know, it's she's done stuff. We have a gentleman whose name is Jeff Ballantrae. He does chainsaw art for us. He makes these fabulous bears and these birdhouses and eagles and all sorts of really cool stuff. Silver Street Glass is just down the road from us, and there his wife does stained glass window treatments. She does earrings, and she does ornaments, and then he blows glass. So we have blown glass and stained glass from that family. We have I do the pottery, and some of my students work when they get to a certain level. It's kind of they graduate so they can sell in the store now. And we have fabric, other fabric people. We have Ripley's Farm. They have all their own. They grow all their own food, and they make us jams and jellies, which are incredibly good. All the stuff they use is locally. The only thing she can't grow is she can't grow beets, so she does buy beets, but everything else she grows herself and throws into her jams and jellies. We have the Bread Basket, which is a store that's around the corner from us. It's a bakery, and they bring us every Friday and Saturday, they bring us fresh breads and pies, which are really hard to resist.
Oh, I actually bought bread, and I did buy a pie there, and folks, You can't miss that. You got to get some of this food because it's incredible. I mean, I'm just sorry I didn't buy more when I was there. That's the only thing I'm regretting, because I just should have bought more. It was that good,
yeah.
And I'm back.
Yeah,
I'm
they're very good. They're very good. And we have, what else do we have? I mean, we have metal workers. We have we don't do a lot in the print and photograph, because as big as the barn is, I don't have space for it. I don't have wall space. That's my problem. We have wreaths. My friend Linda, who helps me in there a lot, Linda Mizzanola, she makes these amazing wreaths, and we do classes as well. So, for example, we have a class of hers is coming up. It's always the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We do wreath making classes, and I go out into the woods and I cut down the trees, and then she comes and shows everybody how to make a nice wreath.
Well, you know, speaking of wreaths, that was one of the things too, that there were a number of booths who had amazing wreaths for the fall and of course the holiday season. And they were amazingly, wonderfully done. And it was just another part of the exhibit that you will note that these are very creative people. They're incredibly mm-hmm. creative.
Yeah. We have a lot of, in the store and actually around town, a lot of people repurpose and recycle stuff. We have two women. They're both named Karen Carpenter. So we call them KC1 and KC2. And because we got to keep them separated. And KC1 is KC1 just because I knew her first. So that's the only reason why she's KC1 and the other is KC2. And they take recycled sweaters and they make the mittens up, the Bernie mittens. But they made them before Bernie became popular mittens. And KC1 takes men's suit coats and she turns them into these big bohemian like bags, and she uses every pocket, but they're men's wool suit coats. They're very cool and very popular. And one of their sets of one of the mittens that they made actually hiked Kilimanjaro this past summer. A woman bought it for her sister. Yeah, a woman bought a pair for her sister. She took it on her trip to Kilimanjaro, and they were the hottest gloves on their tour.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I know we ship stuff all around the world. I've shipped to South Korea. I've shipped to Australia regularly, Alaska. People call and say, hey, we want some of your chicken mugs. I'm like, okay, I'll ship them to you. Where are you? I'm in Alaska. And, you know, the mugs are $50. I'm not a piece, but two mugs are $50. And the shipping was $60. So I called her. I said, are you really sure you want these mugs?
Wow. I want to ask you, how do they find you? Because are you on the internet? And if you are, give us your website, that sort of thing. Is that how people find you when they're looking
basically
for really good products?
We do pretty much Facebook. Mostly it's because I just don't have time to keep up with a web page. I have tried it before, and it overwhelms me. I just have a lot going on with all the different things we do. So it's a Facebook thing. You can find us at Cooley & Company. There are a couple other Cooley & Companies out there, but mine has the barn on it. You'll see a tile barn. Last fall, we had a community tile project. We had about 150 people came, and they made tiles, and we made these big mosaics that we hung on the barn on the outside. So if you find our Facebook page, you'll see the barn. And it's the barn is actually one of the big tiles. There are 3-foot by 3-foot installations of this tile project we did, and one of them is the barn. So that's how you'll know it's the right Cooley & Company.
I love the fact that you're doing not only an incredible store with wonderful products, incredible crafts, but also the teaching of how to do these various products and how to manufacture them. And I think that, again, that's a whole other level that you're doing there. And one thing leads to the next. I think that's terrific.
I love doing the classes. So this fall in September, we try to do one or two a month. We're basically open. Our main season is September through December. Then we close in the winter because it is a barn and it's cold. And Greenville doesn't have a lot of traffic in the wintertime. So in September, we did a pit fire, which is a form of pottery firing. I'm not sure if you know about it. So basically, you take a pot and you do – I made a bunch of pots for everybody. And you put organic material in and around it. So like banana peels, seaweed, salt, Miracle-Gro has great colorants in it. And you wrap everything in aluminum foil around the pot, and then you put it into a big bonfire, and you light the bonfire up, and it burns for about 3 or 4 hours, and then the pots start to emerge from it. And as the temperatures cool, you start to see the colors come out on the pots. It's a very fun and exciting way to do pottery. The pots are not, you know, food safe or anything, but they're very colorative. They're very decorative. You can use them for flower pots. You can just use them for decoration. So that was our September class that we had. Next week, or maybe it's the week after, the 28th, we have our first mosaic class. It's the first time we've done a mosaic making class. I've made mosaics in the past. I've just never taught a class on it. So that's going to be a fun class. Then in November, we have the wreath making class going on, and we haven't figured out what we're going to do in December yet. Maybe something with ornaments for the kids. We'll do an ornament class or something.
That sounds right. You know, something like that would be great for the kids and give them a sense of creativity and something to work on. That also sounds like a great plan.
There's so much going on there.
It's wonderful. And boy, you are a busy gal, and good for you. Good for you. I mean, also, I think what drives this is your enthusiasm, and it's just there. And I love when people have that passion for what they're doing, and you certainly do, and it shows. And that's why you're going to have one success after the next, guaranteed, because it's your personality and your wonderful warmth and of what you're doing, and that is contagious in a good way.
Well, thank you. It's also the product that we have in there, because people walk in, and I remember, I think, honestly, the best compliment I've ever gotten about the store is a woman walked in the door, and you walk in, and it's kind of dramatic because it's, you know, it's an old barn, and it opens right up, and there's bright lights in it, and she said, "Oh, wow, it's like going to the craft fair with no junk." I was like, that's right.
Well, that's great. That, you want to put that in quotes and put it somewhere over the door. That's great.
And people walk around multiple times. Linda, who helps me, she's fabulous at placing of things. So you walk around and everything's not, you know, like all the mugs are not in one place and all the wreaths are not in one place. Everything's all sort of mixed together and with a myriad of colors together and functionality. And it's fun to walk around. And one night I was watching this older couple, and they were walking around, and this gentleman elbows, who I assume was his wife, and he said, "Hon, we don't have to walk today. We're getting our laps in." So because they just kept walking around the store.
Wow.
And the store is full of history. Every piece of furniture that's in there, nothing was bought new. Everything was dumpster dived, found off the side of the road, or given to us. And we repurpose stuff to make it do what we want it to do. We have, we have probably 30 or 40 Apple boxes that we use for displays. I ran out of money when I was building the barn to put the wood on the inside, you know, for the siding. And I was like, what am I going to do now? And I looked at a door that was in the back, and I said, well, a door, door is good insulation. I could put doors on the walls. We use doors for walls. And I thought, well, I'll go to our local ReStore and see what I can get. But they wanted like $60 or $70 for doors. And I came home and I said, I can't do that. What am I going to do? So I threw it up on Facebook to the Granville, you know, local Granville Facebook chapter that we have. And I said, hey, friends and family, does anybody have any old wood doors that you're not using anymore? I'm working on this art project. I'll be at the barn. You can drop them off or I'll come pick them up from you. Well, that Saturday, 47 doors showed up. 47
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's a great story. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
so we
such
have three,
support.
Yeah, three walls in the store, and I only needed one wall worth of wood, but three walls in the store are all these doors that came out of people in town's houses. And we didn't do anything really to much of them. Pretty much they're exactly how we got them. So it's the walls tell the story of the town, which I just think is so cool.
It is, absolutely is. And like you were saying, that when you walk through it, there's so many different products and so beautifully displayed that it's an adventure just to go from area to area. And they're all very different and unique. And it's an incredible feeling, too, of warmth and family. And what you just said, it kind of underlines that. There's this family feeling going through this whole, from your classes to your store and all the things that you're doing. And it just points out how wonderful that works, that does work. And we need that in this kind of time right now. This is exactly what we need. We need close family relationships. We need, like you, a store owner who has the community in mind and goes out of her way to do what she can, and repurposing things, again, right on the money to do the right thing. And it's all lining up, and it's working, and it shows. I'm just very excited for you. I really am.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. And it's you know, every Wednesday we have what we call load-in. We're not open on Wednesdays. We're open, you know, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. But every Wednesday we have load-in where the artists bring their new stuff. So every week there's new items in the store, and then Linda gets her hands on them and changes the whole store around. And people are like, it's like a new store every 2 or 3 weeks. It completely looks different because of the way that we move things around, the new stuff the artists are bringing in. And I'm constantly pushing them saying, guys, we need new and different stuff. That's the way we're going to stay alive here, is having new and different things. So the artists are having fun because they get to try new stuff. And we have collaborations going on between different artists who didn't even know each other until they came to the store, where one will say, well, I'll do the woodworking portion of this and you do the painting portion of this, and they come up with a new idea. And that to me is really exciting. I love seeing that kind of collaboration, so that when we have customers come in on the weekend, they're excited because they see new stuff. Because Greenville is a small town, a lot of people come in, and it's sort of a social center. You know, the Friday afternoon, coming home from work, they stop in to see what's going on in town for the weekend. I sometimes feel like the MASH sign pointing people into different directions. You know, Toledo's over here and Paris is over here. This is what's going on. But
it's all working one thing leads to the next. And you also just mentioned the fact that people are, because of the way you're doing this operation, people are meeting each other that wouldn't ordinarily meet. That is incredibly good news on a community level as well as a personal level, that they're now making new friends and they're involved in various parts of being creative.
And I'm saving marriages at the same time. So I just want you to know that.
Yes. No, absolutely.
Well, what has happened is a lot of our artists are people that, you know, they start off doing something for their own enjoyment, for a hobby, and they give their things to their family and their friends, and then they might do some, you know, little craft fairs and that kind of stuff, but they're making more than they themselves. So that's how I get them. And, you know, we take care of that distribution problem for them. And it's become a real cottage industry in town. Over 50% of everything that is in the store is actually made in Granville, with a town population of 1,500 people. And then, you know, the other stuff comes from outside of town, but it's people come from all over. We have a huge repeat business. I think our repeat business is over 70%, which is pretty, I think it's pretty remarkable. I mean, I love the fact that people like to come back. They like to see what's new in the store, and they know if they come back every 2 or 3 weeks, they're going to see pretty much a whole new store.
Cooley, did you have any professional marketing training? Because you are an incredibly wonderful, a natural marketer, but did you ever study anything like that before?
No, my undergrad is in education. I do have, I was a human resource director for years at a hospital. So no, I do not have any of it. And most of the time I feel like I'm sort of flying by the seat of my pants. And I just sort of do what I think people would like and what I know what I would like. So I say, if I come up with an idea and I say, well, would I like to do that? Yeah, I'd like to do that. And I kind of think I'm sort of like most people. So people will show up. I think it'll work. We've had a few flops, so we're not going to say we've been perfect. But for the most part, pretty much everything we've instituted has worked really well for us.
Well, I think that's exactly the right approach. You're not afraid to try something new and see how it flies. And that's terrific. That's part of the creative process, because, you know, it's not all win-win all the time. But you learn, even from something that doesn't quite go well, you learn from that, and then you try it a different way, and it does fly. It does work. So that's
absolutely
a process that you're going through, and you're highly successful doing this, and on so many different levels too. That you're amazing. Ever thought of running for mayor? I mean, really?
we don't have a mayor. We have selectmen.
Oh, okay. Well, you think about that.
I probably don't have the political brain, because I kind of speak my mind, and I do get in trouble every once in a while.
Well, I like the fact that people do speak their mind. We need transparency, and we need truth, for sure. The more the better, absolutely. So that also tends to work. And, you know, I was in a place in New Jersey, Cranberry, New Jersey, because a friend of mine was giving a luncheon for people interested in UFO and paranormal phenomenon, which is one of my interests. And she had some wonderful people who've written books, incredible books on these subjects. And we got to know each other and we on a very personal level there. The reason I'm bringing it up is because Cranberry, the restaurant pub there, was started hundreds of years ago, a small town, which is still there. And they started adding on a restaurant and then party rooms, and it grew and grew. And now it's an incredible complex. If you're ever in New Jersey in that area of Cranberry, don't miss it. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because it's a place where the community goes, and word of mouth is building it even today. And again, it's hundreds of years old. And I'm just envisioning, this is my own thinking on here, but I could envision a side or next to your amazing store, a restaurant.
Well, I would love to do something. The Granville has maintained its wonderful character, its old New England feel, because it does have extremely strict building codes. A lot of those building codes go around businesses. I think I was the first new business in town in like 30 years. So we do not have any restaurants in town. We have a country store that has some pizzas and that kind of stuff that it sells out of it. But we do not, and it's that country store has been around since the 1700s, I think. So they were grandfathered in. I would love to do like a coffee shop or something like that, but probably would do it more like as a food truck because that is something that's permitted in town. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, I would love to expand the barn out now. I still have plenty of room to expand. We're only using about a third of it. My next expansion plan, if I'm ever able to coordinate it all and put it together, would be to have more of a true gallery area. So we could have we have some phenomenal paint artists and photographers in town. Dory Holmes is a woman in town, and her photography has been shown all over the place, and she's fantastic. But you need real gallery walls for that kind of stuff. So I have the space. I just have to figure out, first I have to get permission from the town to expand because I'm at maximum size now. I'm not trying to diss the town because I like the fact that Granville is pretty much the same as it was 200 years ago. Yes. Our population 200 years ago was 1,300, and we're at 1,500 now. So we have not grown a lot. And you'll have families like my family where, you know, my lineage goes back 200 years in town. And there's a lot of us that have that, which is very cool. We do have some new people in town.
It certainly is. Unique.
It is. And you're not really considered a Granvillian until you've been here for 25 years, by the way.
Oh, okay.
that's a bad thing. It's a good thing. We do like some new blood in town every once in a while. There is town requirements that I'd have to have special permission to get to grow. But I would like to do that, mostly because I think I can do a lot more for the artists in our area if I had more room to do it. I'd also like to have a place where we could have some indoor classroom space. Right now, we're sort of at the mercy of the weather because we do most of our classroom stuff outside. I do use part of the barn last winter, one of the wreath-making days. The wind was blowing about 45 miles an hour. It was 20 degrees, and it was snowing like a banshee. So we moved to the back of the barn to get the class done.
Wow. Oh, boy. There's some challenges there for sure. Wow.
There
but,
was,
you know, the thing you're mentioning, though, as far as... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I said they all walked out with beautiful wreaths at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the steps that we're kind of dreaming about, which would be an art gallery for both painting, sculpture, as well as photography, that seems like a really natural next step. And I can imagine with what I've seen, the talent on that level would be something.
Mm-hmm.
I suggested you said coffee shop. I could easily see that where people could gather as well as, I could envision a wonderful restaurant done up in remembering where the town is, and maybe some of the local history might be on the wall. I could just see something like that. That would be a natural a magnet again, not only for the store, but then people have got to eat, and I'm sure you would do it up in a way that would be incredibly attractive. So I'm just put that out there as I could easily see you doing something like that in the future. So whatever, yeah. You know, whatever happens, but yeah, it could happen.
It's definitely a natural step for us. Sort of, I do have, again, going back to a business plan, I do have sort of three stages that I'd like to get to. It's, you know, it's the story. It's money, it's acceptance, and it's getting it done. And in that order. So secure one, the next can happen, and the next can happen, and then it becomes a thing. So I'm hoping to.
Yes, it does. And I love what you said before. You said, build it and they will come. That's a very famous quote. What's the movie? There's a movie that that's from, too. They use that famous quote in a movie.
I
just can't think of the name.
Do
you know the movie?
Yeah, Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner. It's a baseball movie.
Yes, thank you. Yes, exactly. Right, yes. And that's a famous quote, and they used it in the movie. And I love that quote because it's it has a kind of vibrance and a feeling that go ahead, give it a try.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it. Don't be afraid. Take a chance.
Exactly.
And I love that whole philosophy.
Well, it works.
It does. It gives people permission to do things creatively, you know?
It's true. And it's a good way to look at your life is what I've decided that, you know, you never know what's going to come at you. For example, my son's accident. You just don't know. So you got to kind of go for it. And if you fail, oh, well, you fail. Pick yourself up and get on to doing something else. But if you don't try it, you're never going to know what you're capable of doing. And that's kind of how my son and I live. It's like, let's just maybe we can do it, maybe we can't do it, but let's figure it out. And if we can't do it, then we'll try something else. And if we do it, hooray for us, and let's bring some more people into it with us. And that's what we've done. I mean, the store is an example of that. It started off with, you know, 10 or 15 friends of mine. We said, hey, let's go do it now. During the Christmas season, we have 73 different artists in there. And that's pretty cool, and they're all within 20 miles of the shop. So cool. It's just a fun experience to be a part of, and I feel like I'm bringing something to community that's needed, and I'm kind of proud of myself and for the people that helped me. There's a core group of very close friends that have helped me a lot along the way, and I'm proud of them and love calling them my family.
I think it's a win-win all around, and I love your philosophy. I totally agree with it, and I think that is the formula for success is to try things, new things, see if it works, see if it flies, and if it's not quite right, okay, rethink it and go ahead and do it a slightly different way, and it will happen. And I love that whole philosophy because it does work, absolutely. And you're an example of that, you know. And I want to ask my producer, Hercules, how much more airtime do we have at this point?
We have around 6 minutes.
Okay, great. Great 6 minutes. Okay, great. Wow. Is there anything, Cooley, that you'd like to share with the listening audience tonight? Is there anything else you just want to just mention?
Well, I think if you have an artistic outlet, whether it be photography or knitting or crocheting, and you love it and you want to kind of expand it, find somebody like me who will give you the opportunity to get your product out there. You know, Etsy is a great example of people that take sort of their home crafting, their hobby, and it gives them an outlet to sell. But that, there's not a personal touch to Etsy, even though the products are mostly made personally. So find somebody in your community, and there are a lot of us. I think they used to be called serendipity type stores. And get involved with them. And I think that the buy local movement is a strong movement. You're helping your community, you're helping yourself, and you have fun in the process. And I think that's just a great way to sort of take a lot of the negativity that's around now and turn your own world into a positive experience, better for yourself, better for the people around you. And, you know, you don't know, like you said, you don't know until you try it. And some people may say no. Unfortunately, sometimes I have to tell people, no, I already have that kind of product in here, but maybe you could try something else. And if you find the right niche for you, it can be super rewarding and fun. And like me, you may have a complete career change. You know, I went from corporate America to throwing pots for a living and having a store that's open 5 months a year. And I never would have thought it 10 years ago. I would have never thought that this is where I'd be now.
Well said. Absolutely well said. I totally agree with you. And there's various kinds of creativity. Creativity could be in the way you cook or bake. It doesn't have to be painting necessarily or sculpture. It could be ceramics, which is wonderful. Again, I have friends that do that. It can be even your lifestyle and how you can approach your day. It can be very creative. And also
absolutely.
Clothes and the way you present yourself, that can be very creative, and you can try different things. And it's amazing sometimes what you can discover about yourself as well as your other interests that all of a sudden are blossoming. And you're thinking, boy, I never knew I could do that, or I never knew
exactly.
I could write that poetry. A friend of mine I never knew wrote poetry, and he just showed me some of his work, and I was floored, and I just never knew he even did that. And so, again, there it is, that some people keep to themselves, but I think when you're creative, share it, publish it, or get someone to show it, because if there's a little restaurant, sometimes they'll put up your work if you ask them, things like that, little steps that will really, it could build your career. So all of that is really worth it.
Yep.
Cooley, you've been an absolute joy on my program. I invite you back, and I hope you will. I know that your shop will be closed until – it's open until – is it the – what month is it or what day does it close?
December 24th at 2 o'clock. We have to make sure everybody knows about the 2 o'clock, because we do get the last-minute people that are come rushing in and say, I need a gift, I need a gift.
Right. And then you're off for how many months before you start again?
We've closed all the winter. We open back up for the month of May, and in May the theme pretty much is pool, patio, outdoor garden, that type of stuff, which brings a whole different group of people into us. So we get people that do outdoor sculpture. We get just a whole different group of artisans involved. Then we close for the summer because, let's face it, it is a barn, and the barn gets very hot during the summertime. So we close for the summer, and a lot of the artists actually are doing the craft show circuit, and it's hard for them to supply me and themselves at the same time. And then we reopen September, so our main season is September through December.
Okay, very, very good. Anyhow, it was a joy. Welcome back, please, and I will definitely be at the next fall festival, you bet. Well, I'll bring friends, and I want to definitely check that store out again. It's a joy to be there. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Nick. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate it very much.
This is Nick Curdle for The Creative Process, wishing you all an enlightened and exciting journey as you find your own path to deepen your own creative energies and more fully develop your talents in whatever many areas of creativity expression your life takes you. Till next time, fully embrace your creativity in one or more areas of expression. Stay safe and always be very, very kind to one another. Goodbye for now. Much love to everyone out there. Much love.
And thank you very much, Nick, and thank you, Cooley, for an excellent show. And thank you to our wonderful audience. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand, until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Much love.